as we turn our attention to the book of Galatians chapter 5. As we have seen and studied the fruit of the Spirit, so far we have looked at the word love, the fruit of love, the fruit of joy and peace. And now we have this opportunity to look at the word patience. The fruit of the Spirit is, say with me, patience. The fruit of the Spirit is?
Patience.
Come on, church, you can do better than that. The fruit of the Spirit is?
Patience.
How many of you are praying for patience today? How many of you have prayed for patience? Seriously. When you look at your spouse, or when you look at the person next to you, have you prayed for patience in how you dealt with that person? Right? Perhaps on your way here, you were driving and this person for some reason is so slow and because you need to go to church. And said, Lord, give me patience for this person. Right? Or just in any situation that you've been dealing with, you have asked the Lord for patience. And probably perhaps you've heard, says, don't pray for patience. What happens when you pray for patience? What happened when you pray for patience in your life? And you know the Lord is going to bring what? People in front of you to deal with. Difficult people. Right? To truly challenge you. And deal with you. Because you have asked. You have asked God for what? For patience. Life is a mess. And we deal with people daily. Right? Whether it be at work. Whether it be at home. Whether it be with our neighbors. Whether it be in the church, we deal with people. So I want us to think in this way. And how is the fruit of the Spirit is patience. You see, if you recall that we don't receive the fruit of the Spirit through a transplant, right? It would be great if we woke up in the morning to discover that our ungodly ways, our impatience had been replaced by the fruit of the Spirit. It doesn't work overnight. I wish you could do that, right? But it doesn't work that way. The Holy Spirit cultivates His fruit in us through our relationship. Listen to this. Through our relationship with others. You want to cultivate your life in regards to patience. You got to deal with people. You can't sit in the corner and just ignore that. You got to grow. And relating with others, it's not easy, is it, to deal with people? So the Holy Spirit teaches us to love in relations to people who are hard to love, as we have studied love. The Holy Spirit teaches us patience in relation to people who get on our last, finish the sentence, our last nerve, right? That's what the Holy Spirit does. He teaches us in how we deal with people, difficult people. The Holy Spirit teaches us gentleness in relation to people to take our meekness for weakness. And you'll learn that next week. So I'm going to save that for now. Right? The character of Christ is developed and demonstrated in how we treat others. It's not a transplant. It's not something you can just ask and get it right then and then. It doesn't happen overnight. Our faith in Christ is organically connected to love for all the saints. It's organic. It's dependent for that. The spirit fruit is not manufactured in a pristine laboratory of our private prayer closet. It doesn't matter how much you spend time in your private closet in prayer. It doesn't work there. We can ask God for that, but our faith grows when we deal with others. The fruit of the Spirit is cultivated in the soil of messy relationships. Excuse me. Right? In the soil of messy relationships. Because it's fruit. And how a fruit needs to grow, you need what? You need soil. You need to cultivate that fruit. And so for us to grow and cultivate the fruit of patience in our lives, we have to deal with people. Even your children, right? For there's only one new parent here. I'm sure you've dealt with patience in your life. No, okay, so John is a perfect kid. Nash and Rachel does not get tested with their almost two-year-old son, right? Almost two or one and a half? Two, he's two already? Almost three, that's what I meant. Right? Yeah, he's a perfect kid. And I haven't heard Rachel complain about her son, right? That how well he is. He hasn't got spanked yet, right? By Nash. True or not? Right? So, so when you look at your child, you look at your spouse next to you, right? Just today, I was driving and my wife was next to me. I had to pray for patience. Because she told me to go, and I said, oh, go that way. I said, okay. So, you know, I'm applying the sermon in my life at that moment. So we went around, and I said, there's the car. The car is right there. I was right. I didn't say I told you so, but I'm telling her now. So how do you cultivate patience in your life? So how do you cultivate patience in your life? What makes you most impatient? Right? Do you find it harder to be patient with people, circumstances, or things? Right? I mean, think back over the past 24 or 48 hours, or in this past week. How have you dealt with others' shortcomings? Listen to that. How have you dealt with others, not yourself, right? Listen now. Dealt with others' shortcomings. Right, we're so quick to pinpoint on others and that, oh, I have no shortcomings. You're so slow, that's your fault. That's not my fault. Right? What attitudes about yourself and others would help you be more patient? My beloved, the purpose of this study is to help us understand and demonstrate God's patience. We start there. The circumstances of life should not cause us to lose our patience. That's easy for you to say, Pastor, right? The circumstances of life should not cause us to lose our patience. The Greek word translated as patience here is a combination of makros, meaning long, and then thomos, meaning temper. Means literally long-tempered as opposed to short-tempered. Okay, now you get the word patience. What it means is what? Long-tempered. Okay, think about that. Right? Patience, it means in the original, long-tempered. Okay? The word that is used here speaks not so much of being patient in a trial, but being patient, listen to this, but being patient with people. Being patient with your spouse, being patient with your children, being patient with the person that you work with, be patient with your teacher, your classmates, people. Not the trial that you find yourself in to be patient or to wait for God. It's not about that. Being patient with people that you deal with in a daily basis. So how many of you are not who are you here are very patient individual? Be honest. Okay? It refers to what we might call staying power, to endure hard events and obnoxious people. Patiently putting up with people who continually annoy you annoys me. Right? Who continually obnoxious people, right? You probably could say, you know what, you're probably going to make a list right now. These are the people that are obnoxious in my life. These are the people that annoys me. Watch out now. Right? And then your name's probably not on the list. You probably have so-and-so annoys me so much. You know why? Because this person is so slow. Right? Especially when you're a type of person like, you got to get out of here right away. Right? You got to go someplace. And then, you annoy me so much. We have to go right now. Now, let's go. Right? And you're just so annoyed by it. And yet, you know, God is teaching you patience through that person. I didn't realize that. Right? I'm a type of person, when we have a place to go, I need to be there half an hour or an hour before the event. I don't leave at 3:55 because I need to be there at 4 o'clock. Right? I need to be there. That's me. I need to learn this. This message is for me. It's not for you. So Paul is exhorting us to, listen to this, to be long-tempered in Galatians 5. The patience that is in view here focuses more on interpersonal relationships with other people. It is the patience of long-suffering and forbearing in the midst of personal injury. This is the most difficult patience of all. When we are injured by others, we long for what? Revenge. We long for to what? To retaliate. It demands strength and stamina. And it depends on being able to exercise control over our reaction to others. It takes work to be patient. Amen? Amen. But you don't want to do, you're not willing to put in the stamina. You're not willing to put in the work. But why? So, you know what? I'm just going to leave you anyway. I just go ahead and leave. Because you're so slow. I'm not going to wait for you. Right? You've gone through that. None of that is easy. It doesn't come naturally to us. Which is why we need the Spirit of God to make it grow in our lives. Right? All of us experience impatience. I mean, do you remember the time when we studied respectable sins? Go ahead and review that. It's a short section, impatience and someone who's being irritated all the time. Right? All of us have experienced the consequences of our impatience. Have we not? Right? All of us can benefit from becoming more long-tempered through the power of the Holy Spirit. We have all known moments of impatience. It's often a feeling of mounting tension and pressure. The feeling that we are going to blow at any time. Perhaps even a clear definition would be this. Patience is restraint that does not retaliate. Patience is restraint that does not retaliate. Patience is restraint that does not retaliate. So whatever was said to you, whatever was done to you, whatever was not done that should have been done, whatever offense was rendered against you, no matter how severe or how serious, if you're walking in the Spirit, your anger is far away. It's an almost infinite distance. That's how we deal with it. It doesn't matter what cause it may. We just have to be patient. And so turn with me here to Exodus 34. The patience of God. The first thing I want us to look at is this. The patience of God. This one is to be patient with those who have offended us. And is most clearly demonstrated by God himself. God wants to make you as patient as he is. Right? Did you hear that? God wants to make you patient as he is. I'm pointing at you. I didn't say me. Right? I didn't say us. God wants to make you patient because I'm a very patient person. Wrong. God wants us to make us patient as he is. The amazing truth is that God wants to make us as patient as he is. He provides his own Spirit to impart his patience to us. God's patience is long-tempered or slow to anger with both believers and unbelievers. In the book of Exodus, chapter 34, so if you turn your Bible there, 5 through 7, the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. The Lord passed before him and proclaimed. Who's before him? Moses, right? The Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgressions and sin. But who will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children and the children's children to the third and fourth generation? And Moses quickly bowed his head toward the earth in worship. And he said, if now I have found favor in your sight, O Lord, please let the Lord go in the midst of us. For it is a stiff-necked people. Stiff-necked people. And pardon our iniquity and our sin and take us for your inheritance. So when God identified and described himself to Moses, and that's what he said, says slow to anger. It's one of the characteristics of God. It's a good way of expressing that we mean by patience, slow to anger. Now that definite statement comes in the context of a great sin by the people of Israel, right? At Mount Sinai, it was their apostasy and idolatry with a golden calf in Exodus chapter 32. You see how these people have come and worship an idol instead of worshiping their creator. Instead of worshiping God. But instead, they worship an idol. They requested. They wanted someone, something to worship. And how did God dealt with them? And certainly God did exercise judgment on that occasion, but whereas he had threatened to destroy them completely, God's response to Moses' intercession was to spare the nation as a whole and continue to lead them forward in Exodus 33:12-17. That famous verse in Exodus 34:16 is echoed quite often in the Old Testament. If you look at, again, Psalm chapter 103, one of my favorite chapter in the book of Psalm. Psalm 103, as we have read that earlier today, starting on verse 8. The Lord is merciful and gracious. Actually, you know what? Let's all read it together. 8 through 13. Let's read that verse, that passage together. Out loud. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. He will not always chide, nor will he keep his anger forever. So great is his steadfast love toward those who fear him. As far as the east from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. You see that a little later, the psalmist compares God's compassion to the way a father responds to his children, which certainly takes a lot of patience. Even when judgment is clearly deserved, God is patient. Especially when there is opportunity of repentance. God, who his patience is not limitless, will come a day when he will execute his justice on the wicked. But for now, it is a story of his mercy. It is a story of his slow to anger. It's a story of his kindness and his faithfulness. And that message ring out from God is seen as you read through the journey of God's people in the Old Testament. A lot of people think God is to be feared in that way. That God does not show his just, that he is just. People do not see that God is loving. Yet you see here over and over in how these people have run away from God, have disregarded the God of the Bible. And yet, the Bible speaks of his mercy. The Bible speaks of his slow to anger. And how God is patient. Even in Jonah. Actually, Jonah knew it already. So he criticizes God for being so patient and forgiving. Imagine that. When you read Jonah, the book of Jonah. Jonah was embarrassed and angry by the very quality that God had so often shown to Israel when it was for the benefit of hated foreigners in Jonah chapter 3, verse 10 to all the way to chapter 4. Slow to anger, said God about himself. And even when God's anger is rightly and necessarily aroused by human wickedness and sin, his anger does not last forever. Micah saw that aspect of God's character, that he does not stay angry forever, as something unique about Yahweh, the God of Israel, something that was not true of other alleged God in Micah chapter 7, verse 18 and 19. When you read Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 17, Hosea chapter 11, verses 1 through 4, Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 19 and 20, Jeremiah chapter 8, verse 4 and 7, Jeremiah chapter 25, verse 3 and 4. But in the book of Psalm chapter 86, verse 15, turn with me there. Psalm 86, verse 15. But you, O Lord, are a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. Patience has a lot to do with how much you're able to bear or to carry. That's why when we run out of patience, we say, I can't what? I can't take it anymore. I can't bear it anymore. Right? I've had enough of this. You remember saying that. Because you lost your patience. Isaiah chapter 43, verse 23 and 24. Isaiah pictures an argument between God and Israel in which God says that he had not laid a burden on them, but on the contrary, they had constantly wearied him with their sins. In Isaiah 43, verse 23 and 24. This does not mean, of course, that God literally gets tired. What it does mean is that when God is being patient, it is because he is carrying the heavy load of humans' sin. Indeed, one of the Hebrew words that is translated to forgive literally means to carry. And that's what God exactly is doing in our lives. So when God is patient, when God forgives, it's only because God chooses to carry our sins himself, to bear the weight and cost on them on his own. And that, of course, is precisely what Christ did for us on the cross. Turn with me to Isaiah 53, verse 4. In Isaiah 53 says, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteem him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted, but he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was a chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Isn't that great news? That is good news. That he carried our sins, that God was slow to anger, that God was patient. And that's what he shows us here. He carried our sin. He bare the weight and the cost of sin. Turn with me to Romans chapter 2, verse 4. Do you presume on the riches of his kindness and forbearance and patience, not knowing that God's kindness is meant to lead you to repentance? What a beautiful passage. And it shows the love of God, and how, despite of how these people in how they have maligned the name of God, in how they have lived with idols in their lives. And God showed patience. It is the patience of God that tolerates us until we come to repentance. So again, the assumption with this word is that there is sin, there's offense, something's wrong, somebody did something, something's not right, and the human nature is obviously to fight back, to retaliate, to be judgmental, to be abusive, to seek harm or to seek vengeance. That is not what the Holy Spirit produces. That is not the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is the opposite of the deeds of the flesh, which are hatred, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes. Apostle Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 13 that love suffers long. That love is what? Patient. This long-suffering, forbearing, patient is to be the Christian's reflections of the character of God. It is part of God's character to be slow to anger and quick to be merciful. Part of the complexity of God in terms of my own relationship with Him is this, that you cannot fathom how a holy God has been able to put up with me or to put up with you. I mean, when I think about how messed up I am before a holy God, I go back to Psalm 103 and reflect on that and to show the faithfulness of God, to show the kindness of God in my life. For me to live another day requires a continuation of God's gracious patience with my sin. The bare and simple question is this: how can God put up with me? Have you asked that lately? In how you relate with God in a daily basis. When you think about your sin, when you think about your disobedience, when you think about those things, do you ask God? Have you sat in the corner and mourned over your sin, your sins? And ask God, how can you put up with me? Right? And perhaps if you're married, you probably said that to your spouse. I can't believe you put up so much with me all these years. Why me? Right? Look at your spouse and say that. How can you put up with me all these years? Right? That's like Michael and Jules, like, man, I'm putting up with you already. And we're not even married yet. Right? But in reality, though, when you think about that question, when we sing songs like this, just that we sang earlier today, do you stop and think, God, how can you put up with me? I've turned my back on you so many times. I have sinned and I've enjoyed the things of the world. And yet you're there to receive me too. And you're waiting for me. I have been a prodigal son. I have been a prodigal daughter. And you are still there with me. He is waiting there to receive us. It's kind of like King David in Psalm 51. Remember that. In how we have sinned, I'm sure he sat in the corner and said, God, how you're able to put up with me? And then he writes that chapter that restore the joy of that fellowship, because that is something that I'm missing. And so that's, my beloved, you and I need to recognize that. We need to look at our relationship before a holy God, that He is kind, that He is faithful, that He is merciful. The mystery is compounded when we add the patience of God, not only His patience with me, but His patience with you, and His patience with you, and you, and you. Just imagine the complexity of that. Multiply that throughout the world and how God is so patient with mankind. It becomes even more difficult to fathom, to realize, when we see a sinless being more patient with sinful beings than sinful beings are with each other. My beloved, you and I need to admit when we are at the end of our patience and ask Him to give us His patience. When we're dealing with people, reflect on the patience of God in your life. Even when you're, even the little things like driving. When that person in front of you, as you go to work tomorrow, as you go to school tomorrow, and that person is so slow, and you're acting up all of a sudden. I'm late for work. You know why you're late? We need to confess our our shortcomings. And trust God for His point of view concerning the circumstance, the person that we're dealing with, that is causing us impatience. Patience is ultimately defined in terms of the nature and the character of God. God's patience is long but not infinite. Listen to that. God's patience is long but not infinite. He warns that there is a border to His long suffering which He will not extend. Indeed, He has appointed a day in which He will judge the world. And that day will mark the end point of God's striving with mankind. It will also mark the day of vindication for His long-suffering saints. So when Paul tells us that the Spirit of God will produce the food of patience in our lives, he's reminding us but the God of the Bible is the God who has borne our sin, who carried it Himself in the person of His Son, taking up His own shoulders, His righteous anger against all evil and wickedness. That is true cause of God's patience, and that leads us directly to our Savior Jesus Christ. The second point, the patience of Jesus. The supreme patience of Christ is demonstrated, of course, as He endured the violence, the cruelty, and the injustice of the cross. And He did that precisely in order to bear or carry our sins without retaliation, but trusting in His Father. Imagine that. The patience of Christ is reflected and is shown through the cross. To carry, to bear our sins unto Himself. In other words, in His suffering and death, Jesus was bearing not only the immediate anger of those who demanded and carried out His crucifixion, but also the sin of the world, including yours and mine. Apostle Peter sees the patient suffering of Jesus as a model for our own endurance in the words that echo as we have read Isaiah chapter 53. The New Testament also stresses the patience of the Lord. In Romans chapter 2 verse 4, it is God's kindness, it is God's forbearance and patience that lead people to repentance. I love that. 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 20, God was patient in holding up the flood for the sinners of Noah's day while the ark was being built, thereby giving more time for repentance. Think about that. When you see the ark, it shows God's kindness. It shows God how patient He was with people. Turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. This was read during our singing today. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. The Lord is not slow to fulfill His promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all, that some should reach repentance? No. What does it say? That all will reach repentance. That's the greatest passage I could see a reference to God's patience in the New Testament. The delay in Christ's return is not an indication of slowness in God's part, says Peter, but of His long suffering, not being willing that anyone should perish. Did you hear that? God is patient toward those who are unbelievers. God is patient for those, your loved ones who have not come to know Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter what they're doing now, but God is showing, still showing his patience towards your family members, your friends who do not know Christ as Savior and Lord. God is not willing that anyone should perish. So what is it that while he is patient toward, why is he so patient, while he doesn't wish that anyone should perish, that all should reach repentance? Have you thought about that? God could have come anytime. Christ could have returned any single moment. The patience of God in tolerating the resistance and the rebellious and the rebellion of men and women throughout all of time in every generation, including here in 2019. That God, in the awareness of that, displays the wonder of his love. It displays the wonder of his steadfastness and his patience, granting the opportunity for men and women to turn from this foolishness and to turn to him. And people are not thinking about that. When Paul writes of it in Romans, he says, you should not mistake God's kindness and his delay. It is simply there in order that you might have opportunity to repent. God is giving men and women to repent of their sins. And that's why God is so patient toward them. Recall a time when you personally resisted the call of God in your life. When God called you to salvation, how long did it take for you to respond to the gospel message? And how many times people have encouraged you and preached the gospel to you and still walked away from it? And how your children or your spouse have preached the gospel and live out the gospel in your life and you are there and thinking like, I don't need God in my life. You just want to live in your own foolishness, ignoring the very salvation that God offers to you. Remember that time. A specific reference to Jesus Christ's patience is made by Paul in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15 and 16. In 1 Timothy chapter 1. First Timothy chapter 1, verse 15 and 16. But I receive mercy for this reason, that in me as the foremost, Jesus Christ might display his perfect patience as an example to those who were to believe in him for eternal life. You see here, in how Apostle Paul claimed that, in his case, Jesus was able to demonstrate perfect patience. In how Paul would kill believers, in how he would persecute them, and yet he testifies in how God was patient and how God displayed his grace in his life. And Paul thus said that God was amazing. See, church, we need to be loving and understanding. If we show impatience for those who have not yet believed, we have forgotten how patient God has been with us. God has commissioned us to preach the good news of Jesus Christ. So be patient with your loved ones who have not turned to faith. God is patient with them, amen? And so why are you trying to hurry that they will know Christ before they die? Why are you worried about that? Why are you so impatient about that, right? What is your job? That they will come to know Jesus Christ. Your job is to live out your faith in front of them. Your job is to preach the good news of Jesus Christ, not to choke them with the gospel. But what we've been studying, what we've been looking at for the last couple of months is what? To be a light and be a salt. That we would respond. So the patience of God, the patience of Christ, and now this, number three, the command for believers to be patient with everyone. The command for believers to be patient with everyone. Patience, which is an attribute of our God and of our Lord Jesus Christ, is also characterized each Christian. So the Bible commands us believers who walk in the Spirit to manifest the same virtues that belong to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. God wants to make you patient with people. I mean, God wants to make me be patient with people. It helps to remember that we need to be as patient with people as we want them to be with us. Or even better, as we want God to be with us. How many times have we heard people say, "Don't pray for patience"? Is this an opportunity for you not to pray for patience? The problem with such a perspective is that it uses fear to deter us from seeking growth in an important area of our spiritual fruitfulness. So pray for patience in your life. I must confess that I often struggle and fail as I strive to be patient. Right? Waiting for my family when we go somewhere. Or even driving. I talk a lot when I'm driving. Right? I usually talk to the person who's in front of me. Because I'm just impatient. At work, how people work. I'm also impatient of myself. I recognize how impatient I am. And my daughter would tell me that. My wife would tell me that. My children will tell me that. Right? Many times I have found myself having to repent of impatience. We need to acknowledge and repent of our impatience as sin. Many times I've had to ask the Lord to help me cherish Christ and all the wonder people I love rather than having my own plans and tasks as my ultimate priority. It is hard, but then again, sanctification is often hard but often beautiful. Listen to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. Ephesians 4, verse 1. I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. That's the meaning of that patience. You are to be patient in the sense that you show tolerance to others in love. Paul's prayer for the Colossians is that they might demonstrate this quality in Colossians chapter 1, verse 11. Be patient with me, I'm turning my Bible. Verse 11. Being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy. Colossians chapter 3, we go back to this with a number of these virtues. In verse 12, so as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. And then it says, regarding patience, bearing with one another, and forgiving each other, whoever has to complain against you, just as the Lord forgave you, so also you should, what? Forgive. It says, put on love. So patience is the kind of patience that offers forgiveness. Remember that it's not something that is external to us and we're trying to develop from the outside in, but rather it is that which is worked from the inside out. 1 Thessalonians 5:14, Christians are exhorted to be patient. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 14. Write these verses down. Proverbs 14:29, Proverbs 19:11, 1 Corinthians 13:4. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2. All Christian teachers and leaders are to minister with great patience. If you don't have patience with those who offend you and those who disrupt your direction, those who invade your life, they create havoc and chaos for you. If you don't have patience with them, you are not Christ-like. You are not manifesting the fruit of the Spirit. How can remembering how patient God has been with us and help us to be patient with other people? In in Colossians chapter 1 again, we are to go down, it says, all patience, giving thanks to the Father. God is the source of all patience, of this patience. Christ is the example of this patience. The Holy Spirit is the dispenser of this patience. It is very hard to exercise patience with others. It's hard to be like Christ in this way, to let this fruit of the Spirit grow in our lives. It is fruit, but at the same time, we need to work at it. There is effort and struggle involved of cultivating fruit of the Spirit. So in conclusion, let me give you some quick points in cultivating patience in your life. Let me share some pointers on how to cultivate patience. Number one, consider Jesus. Consider Jesus. There is much that we must do as we strive according to the grace of Christ in the process of sanctification. And how Christ showed obedience here to the Father. We must labor, but rather than fighting failure by just trying harder, we need to fix our eyes on Christ, the author and perfecter of our faith. We need to consider the patience of our Savior and how Christ labored diligently for the glory of the Father, but his heart was always at rest, never in turmoil of selfishness and impatience. He was patient with his own family members. He was patient with his own disciples when they failed him. He was patient with those who had rebelled and wrecked their lives through sin. His patience was displayed in how he met every one of these challenges with grace, in how he used his circumstances to serve his redemptive purpose. Second, rest specifically in God's good sovereignty. We need to do that. A disobedient child, an unproductive co-worker, an overbearing teacher, or a late delivery, a slow driver. Right? We need to cultivate patience in our lives. We need to trust in the goodness of God. And that there is a reason why God brought those people in our lives. Why we need to cultivate patience in our lives. So accept that circumstance. Accept the person who's slowing you down, that you need to learn slow to anger, that you need to learn. I know it's hard. Right? We need to trust God to increase our patience. Can we pray that? Can we pray that today? The third thing is develop biblical priorities. Our lack of patience is often owing to unbiblical priorities. We can often be impatient with our spouse because we're not getting our way or not getting what we want. Getting your family or children to an appointment or event on a time is a challenge that often tries our patience. But should our quest for timeliness nullify the command to be like Christ? Our goal, church, when we think about develop biblical priorities, is thinking of how Christ can be glorified, how God can be glorified in this situation as I wait for my family members so I will not be annoyed and I will not consider them obnoxious in my life. We need to put that into mind. So what is that? What does that look like in a practical sense? When you feel that they're so slow, and that you recognize that they're obnoxious or they're annoying you, what do you need to do? We need to consider Christ. We need to really develop that biblical priorities in our lives. We need to consider how is God using this scenario in our lives. So when someone is slow and you need to get to work, what do you need to do? How do you respond to those things? When your child is being annoying or obnoxious at that very moment, how do you use that to glorify God in your life? Consider those things. How is God using this situation in your life? So you need to ask. You need to stop and ask God. Stop fighting back. Stop retaliating. Rather, consider Christ and how we need to be patient. Let's pray. Father, we pray for patience. God, help us to be patient. Help us to be patient in every area of our lives. Help us to be patient in our relationships. May you produce patience in us when we are quick to do so many different things. God, help us. May we strive to be patient in every way. Because we know, Father, that we're quick to anger. We're quick to speak. Help us increase patience in our lives. May we beg that, Lord, from you. Help us to pause. Help us with this understanding of patience. May we consider you, Lord, how we live out this truth in our lives. So we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.